Welcome to Symptomatic Redness.
This is part one of our conversation with Camilo Gomez on Peruvian politics in the state of Latin America.
So, do you think the issue with the rural-urban divide being so different in Latin America has to do with the fact that there are still kind of a peasant class in Latin America that doesn't really exist in the Anglo-American world?
It's difficult. I think the peasant class is kind of disappearing. Part of that is climate change, but part of that is also that people are moving. And I think that are kind of playing a very different picture for what rural Latin America is going to look like. And I think that is going to create a very complex picture, because the immigration to the cities is kind of creating a new kind of politics, because also in cities, evangelicals are moving mainly to the cities. They have sometimes go to rural parts of Latin America, but they generally move to the cities, and they also have a political agenda that generally is right-leaning. I mean, it's true that even the evangelical movement is quite diverse, but the truth is that also there are some, even in Brazil, which is in some ways their society is much more progressive than in Peru or other Andean countries. Also, you see in urban areas a kind of growth of the kind of religious right, or the Latin American version of the religious right. So it's not necessarily going to move the things that forward in that regard, but it's going to change kind of the discussion that we are having about this.
Right. I was going to ask you how much the change of the democracy around the Catholic Church. One of the things I noticed when living in Mexico is, outside of southern Mexico, where people are a lot poorer, but they're also, things are still pretty traditionally, you know, Catholic, indigenous, hybrid, you know, religiosity. But you go into the urban areas and there's, you know, there's Buddhists, there's lots of evangelicals, and you get a feel for a broad spectrum dissatisfaction with the Catholic Church that emerges in Mexico in particular, you know, every 50 years or so, right? But this seems to be coming out of Latin America. I teach a lot of kids from Guatemala and in Colombia, and a lot of them are evangelicals, which is interesting. So does that mean that there's like two different and distinct religious rites in Latin America right now? So there's something that's kind of American flavored and something that feels like, you know, the old Legionnaires of Christ, Opus Dei, you know, Latin Catholic religious right?
It's very complex to say. I would say that the right-leaning Catholics and right-leaning evangelicals work much together in Latin America, much more than they do in the U.S., which could sound surprisingly, but I think it's kind of the case. In protests against particularly gay marriage and things like that, like you see basically the right-wing leadership of the evangelical church and the right-wing leadership of the Catholic Church, like they side by side. I think that they are pursuing an alliance of convenience, and I think that in that regard I don't see them as necessarily different. I think that obviously in theological questions they are different, but in the political pursuits they are quite similar.
That's interesting, because in the United States there is a strong Catholic right in the courts, but the Catholic social movement, largely because of frankly racial issues, is not that right wing, except on abortion. So you have this sort of like Anglo-Catholic movement in the courts, where they kind of dominate conservative jurisprudence. You know, if you look at the Supreme Court, most of the conservatives are Catholics. But outside of that, that alliance doesn't really go very far, right? Most of the Catholic faithful are urban, and a lot of them are people of color, so there's not a natural allegiance with the evangelical right. But the evangelical right in the United States is actually on a major decline. I don't think people realize that. This whole Trump phenomenon is actually an indication of that. Like, demographically, they've lost a ton of numbers in the past 10 years, since actually the George Bush era.
Yeah, I think that there is a lot of about to be said about that. I think that in some ways, well, I think in Latin America, what's happening is the contrary, that kind of the the Catholic Church is their numbers are smaller, and the Evangelical Church the numbers is higher. And I know that for the convivence, for at some point it's going to be a problem, because obviously Catholics want to recruit, and generally the people that Evangelical Church are recruiting are people that are formerly Catholic. They're not trying to recruit Buddhists or Muslims or Jews. Generally, they are trying to recruit people that were baptized as Catholics, which is kind of the general thing in Latin America. To be baptized is what most people do in Latin America. And in Latin America also it's very common to being married by the church, so you have to have at least confirmation. So you have to be in the Catholic Church at least until your 20s in order to do what is kind of the average thing to do.
Yeah, and that's different in the United States. You know that, right? Non-Catholics can easily marry Catholics.
Yeah, I mean, there are people, obviously there is civil marriage, but it's not that common. So that generates that generally the people that go into the Evangelical Church go into their 30s or after being married.
Oh.
It's kind of a different
pattern. So they recruit families. So in the United States, this is interesting. I didn't realize this was this different. I never really talked about it. The Catholic Church only requires the non-Catholic partner to promise to raise the children Catholic. They don't have to be confirmed. They do have to be Christian, so like they don't solemnate marriage to Jews or whatever. But that's it. That's the only criterion. And that apparently is not the case in Latin America, which is interesting. I think it's partly because the church knows they're not culturally hegemonic here. Like, they would die out. So, one of the interesting things that's happening here, though, that doesn't seem to be happening in Latin America, is the emergence of Christian orthodoxy as both a alternative to both Catholic and evangelical political movements, too. Not just religiously, but also politically. And it's had like a mass conversion. It's still a very small portion of the numbers of Christians in the United States, but it's grown up from like small ethnic communities of a few, you know, a very small, like the Greek community or the Serbian community in like a major city, to like every city now has at least one Orthodox church that's pretty large. That has had some interesting valences here that I don't see anything acting like that in Latin America, but I think maybe the move to evangelicalism is actually a similar trend, right? It's a move to an other, but still Christian sort of religious force. It's quasi counter hegemonic or whatever, but not really. You know what I mean? You can look to be like you're rebelling against the major forces in the society, but not be really rebelling at all. But it's interesting that it's so urban. Why do you think that is? Why does it take such a different character than in the United States? Or in Europe, for that matter.
I think that, well, there are some attempts to make it more rural, but I think it has to do with rural communities are pretty poor, so the contributions that they could give are very small, and I guess that's the kind of limit that has the evangelical church in rural America, in rural Latin America. I mean, I think that's the main reason. I mean, there are Orthodox church here in Lima, Peru, but they are just, as you mentioned, ethnically. They are Russians mainly. There are Anglicans, but there are very few. So, yeah, mostly the religion that has grew in Peru, and as far as I know, in most parts of Latin America, is evangelical.
So is there still a strong Catholic presence among the kind of workers' movements, maybe not the Marxist ones in specific, because that's like a big mythology in America that I kind of don't know if it's true. You know, you hear all this talk about like the liberation theologians, you know, and they do come out of Central and South America, but being a major influence on Latin Marxism, is that still true? Was it ever true?
That's a good question.
To hear the complete discussion, please subscribe to our Patreon feed.